This is where normal comes to die. Mediocrity meets its final demise, and the status quo is unabashedly dismantled. Welcome to Reinvention Radio. Now, here's your host, Steve Ulsher.
Alrighty, welcome to a very special edition here of Reinvention Radio. Why is it a special edition of Reinvention Radio? Because it's always a special edition here of Reinvention Radio when we're together. And that's what we have to do from now on. We have to look at every moment that we have together as special. It's special. It's special
time. It's interesting.
Mary Goulet, I love you. I don't take you for granted. This is so awesome that you're here. Richie Ote, I love you. I'm so glad you're here. And hey, Wade, how you doing, bud? I am so looking forward to this one. And, we do a lot of interesting things here on the show and cover a lot of ground, as you all know. And for those of you who have been rating and reviewing and subscribing to the podcast edition here of Reinvention Radio, many, many, many thank yous for that. And don't forget, you can join us live every Thursday from 12 until 2 Pacific. And you can join the feed there at reinventionradio.com. Now, why am I excited? Of course, I'm excited because it's a Thursday and I get to spend this time here with you guys. But I'm also excited because what we're going to be covering here on the show today really, I think, is one of these universal things that, frankly, it doesn't matter if this is in your personal life or in business. If you don't get this skill down, you're going to struggle. And people are going to say, well, wait a minute. How does this apply to one's personal life? Well, let me ask you a question. Do you believe, let me start with you, Mary, do you believe that we're always selling in some way, shape, or form?
Absolutely.
Absolutely, right? In terms of our interactions with people, in terms of the energy that we put, I mean, we're technically selling. People don't like that. Oh, I hate that term. It's derogatory. You're not selling. It's like, yeah, you kind of are, right? Yeah. You may not like
an idea,
term,
a concept, a product, a widget, a
your
service,
presence.
Anything. Want something from anything. My boyfriend. Yeah,
right?
I mean,
want you to be around or want you out of there. Of
yeah.
Course, everything.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we brought on a special guest to join us today as we're going to be talking about this whole subject of selling, and whether you like it or not, it is something that is a skill that we should really, I believe we should aspire to master, because it will help us in life, in our relationships, whether it's with your significant other, with your kids, with your friend, I mean, whoever.
Well, okay, so if people are turned off by the word sales or selling, we are all doing it from our own unique perspective, and if we can learn some fundamental truths about it, it's still, if you're authentically you,
yeah,
it doesn't have that icky feeling about it, right?
Yeah, authenticity is a huge part of it, and I'm sure that's a lot of what we'll be covering here today. And Wade, let's bring our guest in to the program here today. So we got Christopher Cumby with us today. And Christopher, before we go too far down the path here, just pronounce your last name for me so I make sure I'm not butchering it throughout the whole show.
Well, hi, Steve. Hi, Mary. Hi, Richard, first of all. And it's Cumby.
It is Cumby. Okay, there we go.
Yes, you got it right.
Any Gumby jokes in your life?
Right.
Oh, I can tell you a few.
Well, fortunately, yeah. I mean, you're kind of a big dude, and I think at some point in time there, all of those jokes probably stopped.
Yeah, right.
So,
well, that was the intent.
yeah, man. All right. So for those who don't know you and know what you're up to, I mean, you've got your own show. You've got your own business. I mean, you've got a whole bunch of different things going on. So just kind of bring us up to speed in terms of what you're up to now, and then we'll take a couple steps backwards and get into this whole discussion.
Yeah, well, I appreciate, first of all, the opportunity to connect with your audience and talk about, one of my favorite subjects is selling. And, first of all, I'm a dad. I've been a dad a long time, 24 years. I have a 24-year-old. I'm only 46, so it was a big surprise. Mm. I have four kids now. I have a 2-year-old, 3.5-year-old, 10-year-old, and a 24-year-old this year. So, I spread it out, but I'm still looking young, so that's a good thing. I've been an entrepreneur for about 16 years. I've been doing sales, most of my life, if you include all the little money-making machines when I was young. Mm-hmm. I come from a humble family, didn't have much money. So the only way I was able to get the things that I really wanted was I had to figure out how to make money. Mm-hmm. So that led me down this path. And I was an introverted, kid, and I still am. And, I was very shy. And, being shy is such a a painful experience for those that go through it because, it's an unnecessary emotion and an unnecessary place to, put yourself. And, I had to really work hard through that. And, as a kid, they thought I was, requiring special needs and they put me in different classes. And it was very embarrassing because I didn't really voice myself. So I had to learn how to come out. And the beauty about selling, and, I want to clarify for the audience and maybe everybody listening, afterwards as well. Selling, when I learned really what it was, it relieved a lot of pressure. And, we all have the gift of selling because if you believe in giving, that's really all it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, it comes from the root, Latin word, giving. And if you look at it that way, you're really giving information or insight, if you want, and guiding people through something to help them make an informed decision. And when I learned that young, I started to really fall in love with the aspect of helping people. And I think that that's really what got me to the level that I'm at today. And, like I said, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm kind of a serial entrepreneur. I start businesses. I started in the energy business 16 years ago, and it changed my life forever. I was able to take a skill that I was really great at, and I was able to perform in a marketplace that, well, it's probably the largest in the world. Mm-hmm. I think things are catching up to it, but still, energy is such a large part of everybody's life. So electricity and natural gas is something that I really learned and bumped into because I was at Pepsi Cola. And, I got kind of to the top and I wasn't able to make any more money. And it really frustrated me because I was doing well. I helped the company in so many ways, but I just wasn't able to tap into some of the, the wealth that the company had. And it frustrated me. So by chance, I got a phone call and I met this wonderful mentor at 34 years old. The guy was killing it. And he brought me in his company. I was sort of the 40th, employee. At the time, it was doing about $50 million, so not bad. And, by the time, a year went by, we hit about $250 million. We IPO'd. Wow. And now the company's worth probably about $2 billion. Mm. So, I had a great experience, a great mentor, and that's what really led me down this path of falling in love with sales.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For just as an aside, are you Canadian or from the Midwest?
You caught the accent, didn't you, Mary?
Oh, you betcha.
I am from Toronto. Yeah. I did immigrate to the United States. Hey. I live currently down in Florida.
Okay.
And I live at the beach on the Panhandle, on the Gulf of Mexico.
Nice. All right.
Yeah,
so
it is cool.
So let's do this because we've got a lot of ground to cover here. And thanks for bringing everybody up to speed on kind of where you came from and what you're doing right now. Let me ask you this, and I know Richie and Mary also have some questions for you as well, but let me start with this, which is, first and foremost, what do you think most people do wrong when it comes to selling? Like, what are some of the biggest mistakes you see people make when they're trying to sell someone on a product, program, or service?
Oh, this is a great question. In fact, I observe all the time because I'm in sales and I teach sales, and I, get approached a lot by people. And one thing, I see a mistake is people assume you need what they have. Or what they're trying to sell or what they, are giving you. And one of the big mistakes is that they don't stop and ask a question. Hey, do you have a problem and can I help you solve it with what I have to give you? And they often jump into, the product itself, the company, what they can do, all the benefits, the features, and yet they didn't even ask a question to find out if there is even a need. And, that's one of the things that I learned really early in life to be able to ask really great questions and stop and listen. And, probably why I was able to do well in sales is because I'm introverted. So I'm I observe a little bit more. I stand back a little bit more and I listen. For extroverted people, it's a little more difficult, but you can do it if you train yourself and you help yourself with that. But I find that if you just stop, listen, and ask a good question, they'll tell you everything you need to know in order to lead them down either an opportunity with you or not. And, I'm pretty truthful. If I can't help someone, I'm not going to, try to sell them on something they don't need.
That was awesome. I love how you, there's that little Aikido move. Everyone makes it sound like extrovert is better than introvert. And you're like, yeah, well, if you train yourself or help yourself with that, you can get over that. That was awesome. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure that the introvert did help you with listening. right? That's a very valuable skill in sales, probably the most important.
Well, and also vibing out the room. If you're not wanting to be the front and center person, mm-hmm. you get a lot of soft skills that when you do get that extroversion going, probably really helped you out a lot.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, for sure.
Let me ask you this, Kristen. We're going to have to take a break here in about a minute or so. But let me ask you this. You've got an acronym, which is different than any acronym that I've heard for ABC or, you know, those sort of things. But you've got an ABCD acronym that really plays well into this discussion. What is that acronym? What does it mean for you?
Activity being connected to direction, and that's the game. And I'm going to, you know, hopefully we'll have a chat about that when the next segment comes up, and I'll teach a few things for sure.
Mm-hmm. And you have your own show, as I mentioned when we first got
podcast.
On here. Podcast, yep. It's called the, well, actually, I was on that, right? It was the Think Bold, Be Bold podcast.
Yeah. Mr. Bold.
And I don't know if you know this or not, but I think we may have talked about it briefly, but perhaps you forgot.
Did.
I shall remind you. I actually DJ under the name Mr. Bold. So I love the Think Bold, Be Bold show.
I love
it. You've had some amazing people on there over the years as well. All right, so what we're going to do here is we're going to take a quick break on Reinvention Radio as we are talking to the one and only Christopher Cumby.
Yes.
Like Gumby, but Cumby. I got it now. See, that's
never
what I
mean. Forget his name.
I will never forget his name now. And we're talking about reinventing sales and the sales process and so on. So a lot to cover here. And certainly if you are in the business of selling, which we all are, you definitely want to come back and stay with us here on Reinvention Radio. And we'll be right back after the break.
You were born to do one amazing thing, but most people spend a lifetime trying to identify what it is. If you're in a job you don't like or are unemployed, if you're in a state of transition or just can't shake that nagging feeling that you were meant and made to do something extraordinary, the Reinvention Workshop is exactly what you need. Led by award-winning self-help author Steve Ulcher, the Reinvention Workshop will forever change your life. The Reinvention Workshop takes you step by step through Steve's proven formula that is help so many get on the right path and be clear about what they were born to do. Take the first step for realizing the life you deserve and desire by visiting TheReinventionWorkshop.com today. No more delays, no more denial. Reconnect with your true self. Learn to live with purpose and conviction and become who you were born to be. The world is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Log on to TheReinventionWorkshop.com. That's TheReinventionWorkshop.com.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulcher.
Alrighty, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. Steve Ulcher hanging out with the lovely Mary Goulet, Richie O'Jay.
Hello.
And wait, hanging out in the studio, we got Christopher Gumby on. Now I'm just going to call him Gumby. I'm
not just like, no. Sounds like you've got a Gumby in your mouth.
Right, I knew. I got these pumpkin seeds.
Chris Cumby.
Chris Cumby, exactly.
So let's do the ABCD.
So let's do the ABCD. I want to make sure that we do cover that because I think it's pretty dang cool how you... Well, how you define it, and I've never heard it defined this way. So let's go over the ABCDs of selling, if you will, before we get into a couple of other things. So let's close the loop on that one.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's you know, something that I discovered you know, way back when I was performing in the energy you know, industry out there on the front lines. You know, I'll talk a little bit about what I do now, but. You know, the fact was that I worked for a company as a sales agent, and one of the things I realized, and this only came a little while ago, I wrote my book, The Success Playbook, last year. I published it. And, you know, I'm a coach right now. I do sales coaching and consulting. And, you know, something in between started to really resonate. And I look back and, you know, people used to ask, you know, how did you close $1 million commission? You know, I didn't do just that once. And it wasn't just, you know, sheer luck. I did it a couple of times. And, you know, I built a very significant business, you know, a few years back. So I started pondering that thought, and I started looking at, you know, really where was I? What was I doing? What did I do every single day? And I identified something that was very important, and it was that I really got up every day and I played a game. And the game was all geared around setting goals. First of all, I was always a big goal setter. I knew what I wanted, why I wanted it, what feeling it was going to give me, why did I want the feeling, why was the feeling missing, And I pondered a lot, and I started to ask myself those questions. And, you know, I would get up every day, and I'd have an activity that I need to do. And just as we all do, in order to make money, we have some sort of activity or action we have to take. And if we don't do it, well, we're not going to win the game, just like I wasn't able to do, you know, things if I wasn't on top of my game. So the activity part was so important. But, you know, what did the activity needed to be connected to? And it was really me reverse engineering, you know, for my direction. What was my goal? Where am I going to go? What do I need to learn? What do I need to apply? Who do I need to, you know, sort of get around? And what do I need to do? So I started setting goals and reverse engineering it to the activity that I would have to be and or take, and then who do I have to become along that journey to get what I want. And I started coming up with this concept around keeping things simple. And the only reason I picked ABCD is because I wrote out that activity being connected to my direction is how I get things. And it's a great framework, first of all, and it's pretty simple. It's not easy. As we all know, you know, running a business or doing things, it's not easy. I mean, it takes hard work. It takes discipline. You got to go at it. And, you know, I created this game, and the being part is me. You know, I got to take care of myself. And I've always been, you know, really good at journaling. I learned that skill really young. It helped tremendously with being an introvert and, you know, connecting with others and, you know, learning about myself and then, you know, how I can articulate and communicate with people. And, you know, I've taken care of myself. I mean, I've been, in athletics my whole life. I mean, I was a wrestler for a long time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, wrestling taught me some really cool things.
Yeah. Hey, Chris.
You know, number one, it taught me.
Go ahead. Well, just to back up for a second, you said something I've never heard anyone say before, that you learned how to journal. What do you think? Because most people say, journaling, no, I'm just going to do like morning pages. Julia Cameron's, you just write stream of consciousness.
Sure.
But you actually looked at it as a tool?
Absolutely.
Can you just...
It's my number one tool.
Okay, can you just briefly... Because that is an eye-opener for me. And maybe people don't journal because they really don't know...
The right
Why,
way,
how,
even, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So do you have a simple one or two steps that dawned on you or you realized?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, the success playbook that I wrote talks and teaches how to journal. But I will give you, you know, sort of a quick tip on journaling. And, you know, a lot of people think that when they sit down and they write, you know, in a book, it's Dear Abby, and you know, it's kind of telling their woos and, you know, their hums and, you know, all the things in life. But what I... you know, really looked at journaling was, you know, I always loved Einstein because he talked about, you know, and he was a very smart man, very knowledgeable, but his imagination was incredible. And as kids, we have such a grand imagination. You know, I have two young boys, 2 and 3.5, which call me crazy. It's a little nuts in my house sometimes. But what I do look at is, you know, their imagination is so strong and so beautiful. And somewhere along that way, we lose it. And when I was young, I didn't want to lose it. You know, it was actually a fear of mine to lose my imagination. So I started journaling and learning how to articulate, you know, things that maybe are way off in the future or, you know, things that I could potentially do in my life. And it just started getting really interesting that I can actually start to write. And the beauty about writing is there's such a connection to your intellect, and there's such a beauty that happens when you write things out. And I started to see things happen in my life based on what I was writing, and it got interesting, really exciting, because I can pinpoint certain times in my life when things were a little bit difficult and challenging. And you know, at 20, I was 20, almost turning 22, when I found out that I was going to have a baby boy. And, you know, I still wasn't finished school. I had a lot going on. I wasn't married. And I remember going into, you know, myself and starting to write and starting to identify that, you know, life could be really incredible with this experience, and it could be a gift. And it certainly was in you know, many ways. But it was hard. You know, it helped me get through pain and struggle. And the one thing about human beings is we avoid pain and struggle, but it's the only way to grow. And I think journaling helps us grow because it helps us come up with ideas. It helps us identify what bothers us. It helps us with imagination of, you know, what could be. I ask myself a very important question all the time. Who do I need to become to get what I want? because it's all about how we see ourselves. And I think journaling is a great way, and you can learn how to do it, to see how you interact in the world. And, you know, a great indication of what's happening in your world is definitely correlated with what's going on inside yourself. And I think that if you write and you journal, you can start to identify patterns that maybe you don't like in your life or you do like, and you can correlate. And, you know, if you do like some things, then you can do more of that, and you can figure out ways to do some amazing things with journaling. So I just taught myself how to do more.
So let me ask you this, because obviously as far as journaling goes and as it relates to sales, I would think that a lot of it is tied to setting realistic but also sort of stretch type goals, if you will. I mean, if you put it too far out in terms of your journaling, I mean, like, you know, I want to have $10 million or whatever it might, I don't know, whatever that goal or objective, there's a fine line between being motivated by what it is that you write, having a vision of where it is that you want to go, but also in terms of driving you on a day-to-day basis to make something happen. So from a sales perspective, can you give us an example of what a reasonable goal might look like? Like, how do you combine journaling and your goals to set some of those sales quotient? Like, I don't know exactly how to put it, but there's got to be a combination of the two that works for you.
Absolutely, and it's a great question. In fact, you know, the great Zig Ziglar said, walk as far as you can see, and you can see a little further. And, you know, I'm a big fan of setting goals and objectives in life and looking, you know, from the end in mind and working backwards and reengineering. But, you know, all of us know on the call here today that hardly any of that really, you know, comes to fruition. But what we can do is break it down and chunk it down. And so I set goals based on, you know, sort of 90-day action plans. I always found that to be very, very helpful. And a lot of times we have so many things coming at us that I used my journal to prioritize. I don't believe so much in lists of things to do. I look at priorities in my life. What do I need to do right now? And I always do my largest priorities in the morning, because that's when I have the most energy and I get the big priorities, and I might not get them all done, but at least I get a little chunk done. And then by the end of the day, and I always stick, you know, I don't know why it is, but I pick, you know, six priorities done a day. So, you know, if I got to do some banking or something and it's a priority and I got to get it done at some point that day, that's kind of the last thing I do because it's easy. So I leave the easy things at the end, and I structured my day. And in fact, my next book that's coming out is called The Success Playbook Mastery Journal. It's actually designed for salespeople, business people, you know, C-level executives, because that's where I've always, you know, played. And it's designed to actually outline the day and win the day. You know, the whole point about the game, and you know, let me ask you a question. Why do we play games in the first place?
They're fun.
They're fun.
Sometimes. I mean, it depends, right? I mean, if you
well,
lose,
they should be.
They should be, but they're not always fun. Yeah.
Right. So I took this concept about, you know, having fun every day. And listen, I'm human. I don't have fun every day, but I try to make it fun. And because of I play a game, it makes it fun. And the one thing we all commonly want in life, all of us on this planet, we all share one important thing, and it's being happy. Whatever that happy is, we just want to be happy. And I find that when you play a game, you're having fun, but you're also creating some challenges. You're also creating the fact that, why do we play it? We want to win. So I looked at life and I said, and you know, particularly my business, and I said, I want to win today. Tomorrow might be a different day. Well, it always is, but you know, I want to win now. I want to win today. Mm-hmm. What can I win today? Mm-hmm. And how I set up the game, A, B, C, D, I always make sure that people can at least win a part of the day. And the big part that I know you can win every single day is you.
Yeah. All right, let's do this.
You're the
most
important.
We're going to have to take another break here on Reinvention Radio. But, Chris, if people want more information about you, where is the best place for them to go?
ChristopherCombi.com, or I call myself the Kick-Ass Sales Guy. So kickasssalesguy.com.
Okay. Nice. All right, awesome. All right, so let's do this. We're going to have to take another break here on Reinvention Radio, as we're talking to the kick-ass sales guy himself, Christopher Cumbie. And I got to tell you, there's so much more to cover. We could probably go on this subject for days on end. But let's dive into some more very specific strategies and tactics around reinventing the game of selling here with Christopher Cumbie. And Richie Ote and Mary Goulet, Steve Ulster, will be back on Reinvention Radio right after this.
Looking to be a successful entrepreneur? The virtual assistant industry continues to be a top choice for those looking to start their own business. The problem can be how to become a virtual assistant. Many turn to the Bible of the VA industry, the book, Virtual Assistant, the series, and it's the perfect guide for office managers, executive assistants, and other administrative professionals looking to make the transition from employee to successful business owner. Go to vatheseries.com to get your copy today.
And now, back to Reinvention Radio. Here's your host, Steve Ulsher.
All righty, welcome back to Reinvention Radio. We're talking to Christopher Combe about reinventing the sales game. And so much more to cover here, but try to get to some very specific tactics and strategies that could probably work as well for you as they have worked for Christopher. And by the way, being able to get $1 million commission, not once, but a couple of times on selling, I mean, that's somebody who clearly understands this game. So, Chris, let me ask you this, man. When it comes to the game of selling, what do you think? I mean, if you had to offer up just, let's just start with a couple of very specific tactics or strategies that folks can implement in their business right now, what are a couple of those tactics or strategies that you would definitely say someone should be pursuing, starting with, focusing on? We've covered journaling, goal setting, etc. What are some of the other things that they really should be thinking about if they want to massively increase the amount of revenue that they're able to drive for their business this year?
It's a great question. In fact, it's the number one thing that I tell people is you've got to personally develop. You've got to grow. And, you know, a great way to do that is to have someone either mentor you or coach you. And I've seen every single time that when I've had coaching or mentoring, it's brought my life to a new level, and it's also congruently brought my business to a new level. So I do a lot of coaching. In fact, a couple of years ago, I was coaching a CEO with a corporation that I helped IPO, and he was a mess. He was a complete mess. But we'd have good chats and discussions, and then when I started seeing him, read books, and I suggested a few things that helped him out with articulating what was going on internally. He started going to the gym. He started working out and seeing himself a different way. And I think when you look in the mirror, you've got to feel good about yourself. You got to love yourself first, and it's the first line of action to go out there and change things in your business. So I always say to people, if you want to grow your sales, you want to grow your income, you want to grow your revenue, you start with you. And if you have a sales team, you start with them. You help them get better.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a great place to start. Now, at some point though, if you're getting a lot of resistance to what you're doing, let's talk about relationships, right? Like, it's kind of like magnets. If the polarity is in the wrong direction of the two magnets, no matter how hard you try to push them together, you can't get them to touch. But if you flip one over, then it's like, then they click, right? So there are times, I'm sure, where you could be trying to sell something that you don't believe in, or you just hate what you're selling. And so does that come through? Do you think you can kind of BS your way through that? Or do you think if you hate what you're selling and there's no integrity there whatsoever, do you think that it's even possible to get over that?
Well, I mean, anything is possible from, that perspective. And I'm sure there's a lot of people that, pull the wool over people's eyes, in this world. But, one of the things I know about, being an effective salesperson is you've got to be in harmony. I look at nature a lot. I mean, nature is in harmony. Oftentimes, human beings are the only, creatures on this earth that just aren't congruent with their environment a lot of times. And that's the big problem. However, when you look at harmony within yourself and you look at harmony with what you're doing, that's a really important place to have, because without it, the chances of being successful, and I've seen it lots of times, there's lots of people that are doing what they're, they have to do to make money. They don't love what they do, and, they hardly succeed. There's this whole notion out there that there's that 80-20 rule, and I just want to abolish it. I'm just going to, I'm on radio right now.
Yeah.
In the world.
Yeah.
Like, we got to get over that stat. We really do. And if CEOs are buying that stat that, let's just go with it. It's Bobby. He's not that good. And, we're just going to live with him. And, at least he's bringing in a couple deals. Like, BS, okay? Mm-hmm. BS on that, because if you help Bobby get better and you put some emphasis on helping him understand himself and getting a better image of himself, mm-hmm. Bobby's going to be in that top 20%. And why wouldn't you want everybody to be performing really well? So let's just get over that 80-20 rule. It's BS.
Yeah.
Okay, Chris, I'm in real estate, and we go to these conventions all the time, and they're always saying you need to have scripts and read them over and over and over until you own them. What is your philosophy about that in sales versus what you were just talking about?
Sure. Well, scripts are great for getting through. I like to put it this way. I love scripts for cold calling. I think they're important because a lot of people will just, hey, how you doing? And, you know, it's the first sort of, you know, I don't have time. You know, that's what you'll hear on the other line. But if you can get through the benefits within about 30 to 40 seconds with someone and you still have them on the line, scripts are very important to be able to help you streamline your pitch, if you want, or your elevator pitch, whatever you want to call it. And you don't give a chance for anybody in these lines to tell you no until they actually hear what you're, you know, offering. So scripts are important at certain times. I'm not a, you know, I guess because I've been seasoned out there, I've learned on how to be fluid and, you know, really work with someone. And if I don't know anything about a question that someone asks, I don't BS it. I'm, you know, straight up and forward people that, hey, listen, it's a great question. Let me get someone who understands because I don't have enough facts around it. And I never give an opinion about anything unless I know the facts. So that's just one rule that I've given myself in life, because there's a lot of opinions out there, obviously. Mm. And, you know, it can confuse people. So, you know, scripts are good for some things. I, you know, tend to learn how to flow with, you know, the conversation and just be a person and a human being, you know, because that's all we are. We don't have to, we're not turning into something when we're selling something. Just be, you know, you. And I think that that comes off authentically.
Yeah, and I think that would be hard to actually utilize those listening skills if you're living in a script, too.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, points well taken. All right, so let me ask you this. We're going to, fortunately, just got a couple minutes left here, but what do you say to folks who, and maybe you had to overcome this yourself, but what is one tip or just strategy that you can throw at folks here in terms of if they just are afraid to sell, or they get that nervousness, or they're just not feeling great about going in and asking for the close, closing the sale? So we'll either talk about the close or getting over that fear. What can you offer around that?
Yeah, it's a great one. Well, I've got something I you know, go through and I teach. It's called Pose to Close. You know, it's about positioning, outcomes, strategy, and evidence. And, you know, I think when you put that in the right sequence, you can close people. And what I always say, you know, through life, and I've learned this through so many mentors and everything else, is, you know, success is failure, right? I was just talking to Gary Cox this morning. He's a great guy. And, you know, he said success is all about failing, if you think about it. Mm-hmm. So you have to go after that close. And guess what? I didn't close everything in my life, but I closed enough. And I get better and better at closing because I try. And I think that if you try and you don't get the reaction you're looking for, you have to look at, well, what went wrong? And often I do the Columbo close. So this is a good one. You know, when you're in a meeting and it didn't go well and, you know, you're getting up from the and I think this is a Grant Cardone, to tell you the truth. But
yeah.
When you're getting up and you're leaving the, you know, the office, you know, you're grabbing the doorknob and, you know, you turn around and you do what Columbo did. You know, if anybody knows Columbo,
mm-hmm.
you just ask another question. Hey, what could I have done better?
Mm-hmm.
Or what didn't I do well?
Mm-hmm.
You know, in order for you to understand the value proposition, and you just shut up. And the first person, you know, that talks obviously starts, you know, a conversation and, mm-hmm. and then you're back in it. So you always have a chance, if you don't close on the first time, to go back. And, you know, I always take no as no, not right now.
Yeah.
And that's another
right.
thing that if people, you know, really understand, they'll get comfortable with having a lot of no's, because that's what you're going to get in sales. I mean, it's just part of the game.
All right. Good stuff, my man. All right. Well, thank you. Really, really do appreciate the insight there. And you can definitely check out more information on Christopher Gumby at kickasssalesguy.com, which is awesome. And check out his show, Think Bold, Be Bold. And I really do appreciate you being on with us today here on Reinvention Radio. All right, guys, go out there, sell what you want to sell, and enjoy the ride, my friends. All right, we'll talk to you guys later here on Reinvention Radio. Take care.
You just got dismantled. Thanks for listening to Reinvention Radio. For more information about the show and your host, Steve Olscher, visit reinventionradio.com.